Well, it's Easter 2020. Glad you've joined us today. Glad that you've had the opportunity, as we have, to worship together. And I've been through 67 Easters, but none have been quite like this. But I believe that Jesus, God sent Jesus for a time, a season, just like this one. God sent Jesus to live, to teach, to die. And then God raised him from the dead. And we praise God for that. Amen. And what a season to celebrate the resurrection and the resurrection power that we have because of our great God. Well, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to do it again. And I want you to imagine what it might have been like to be one of those disciples that day. And you heard this incredible sermon, a teaching like none other. And then that night, you're sitting around the campfire and roasting marshmallows maybe, drinking hot chocolate. And Peter and John and James, they're all talking to each other. And Andrew and Philip, and they're talking about the sermon. And they're excited about the sermon. They're trying to decide what was really the best point and best part, and what's the point. And one of them says, well, it was about loving your enemies. That was incredible. I've never heard anything like that. And then another one says, no, it's about not lusting and not getting a divorce. It's about a lot of things you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to judge. And another one says, no, it was about forgiving and how you're supposed to forgive and not judge. And then one says, oh, it's about being generous. It's about having a generous heart and generous worldview. And then the older, wiser, so I don't know who is the older that wasn't Peter, not the wisest. But they said, no, it's about the kingdom. And it's about the kingdom is coming. And it's about Jesus saying that we can be transformed and live kingdom lives. And they all sat back and looked at each other and thought, yeah, that's it. That's it. We can be transformed and live kingdom lives. Let's pray. God, we ask today that you come and speak to us. We praise you so much because you sent your Son who, out of his great love for us, died for us. And then you raised him from the dead. And so today we claim that resurrection power for ourselves. We offer you our lives. And we pray for a word from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in the part of the sermon where Jesus says, if your worldview is generous, you're going to have a soul full of light. But if you're worldview is stingy, your soul is going to be full of darkness. And then he says, and you can't serve two masters. And he points out too, you can't serve God and money. Like money's a big issue here. Generous, stingy, can't be both. You can't serve God and money. And then right as he's saying that, as you just heard, as we read this scripture, right as he's saying you can't serve God and money, he says, and I love the way it puts it in the voice version of the Bible. It says, here's the bottom line. And you see the speaker saying that, Jesus. He said, here's the bottom line. Do not worry. Don't worry. I mean, man, how can I not worry? Don't be anxious. How can I not be anxious? There's so much to be anxious about. Don't worry seems like definitely one of those commands that's way easier said than done. But as Jesus does, he's going to throw out some examples about what he's talking about. Don't worry. And the first is, he says, it's about food. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. And the second one is close to it. He says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. And he says, you know, birds, God loves them, but he loves you more than birds. And they don't worry. And he takes care of them. He's going to take care of you. And he says, grass and flowers, they don't worry. and they're beautiful. And God's going to make you beautiful. You don't have to worry about your clothes. But sometimes we do worry about clothes, and sometimes we do worry about food and other things that money can buy. I had a friend, Matt Chandler, a couple of 20 years ago, went to Africa, and he was hanging out with in a small village with a couple of teenage boys, and at the end of his time there, he was doing some survey-like questions, and he asked him the question, "What's your favorite food?" And the boy said, "Rice." And they were enthusiastic about it. And they said, he said, "No, no, if you could have anything you wanted." They said, "Rice." And then it hit him. Their choices were rice or nothing. Rice or nothing. And he began to think about it. That's not the way it is in America. If you just had rice and that's all you had all day long, every day. Because we're not like that. We're the kind of folks who like, you know, "I don't know if I want pizza. I had pizza last night." Or, you know, "I got Mexican food and Italian food leftovers in the refrigerator, and I got bread for sandwiches in the pantry." And I go look in the pantry and the refrigerator, and I say, "Nah, we don't have anything to eat. Mom, what? We got plenty to eat." And clothes, you know. I don't know. Have you ever stood in front of a closet full of clothes and you've gotten out three different things and you tried them on, looked at them in the mirror and said, "Man, I don't have anything to wear"? Well, I've never done that, but I have seen that happen, actually. But this is us. We have so much. We have so much. And yet we act like we're beggars. We don't have enough. We never have enough. We never have enough. And this isn't just about clothes and food, but it's about clothes and furniture and shoes and toys and gadgets and cars and so much. Our houses are full. Our closets are full. Our garages are full. We have storehouses in the back. They're full. And we want more. Have you ever, for instance, have you ever had to downsize or maybe move? And you think, "Wow, where did all this stuff come from? And where am I going to put it right now?" Well, then in the sermon, Jesus reminds us that we shouldn't worry because God knows about everything we need. Yeah, God already knows. And yet somehow God knowing what I need doesn't really solve my worry problem. Because I'm worried about money, and I'm worried about the things that money buys. And I'm worried about money because I'm wondering, what if I don't have enough to take care of my stuff? Because taking care of my stuff costs money. Repairs can be expensive. And in these days, you know, what about my retirement? You know, if you notice what's going on, and maybe your 401k, don't look at it. And I got these questions. Is my job secure? I don't know, man. And how did I get stuck with all this debt? And will I have enough money to pay for my kids to go to college? Or do I have enough money to even pay my bills? What if the economy doesn't bounce back? And what if the economy does bounce back, but it's too late for me? There's a lot to worry about when it comes to money. But Jesus says, don't worry. I need help, Jesus, because honestly, I'm worried. So Jesus gives some instructions. This is what I love about it. He doesn't just leave you hanging. He gives some instructions. And he gives instructions about what we should be doing instead of worrying about our stuff. Instead of worrying about stuff, instead, he said, do this. And what's the do this? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you. That's it. That's how I deal with worry. Wait, I'm worried about this other stuff, and you're saying I need to, okay? Well, there's two points I want to make about this. First of all, often what I need and what I want are not the same things. And, you know, we really know that. Sometimes we want things that we don't need. The Bible says, Jesus says that God already knows what you want. Seek first his kingdom and you're going to get what you need. And then the other is this. This is the principle that's so key here tonight, today. It's when I seek. When I seek His kingdom. That means when I seek it, when I focus on it, when I chase it down, when I seek His kingdom, then His kingdom becomes what I want. Let me read that to you. When I seek, that means focus or chase after. When I focus on and chase after His kingdom, then His kingdom becomes what I want. This principle is at the heart of transformation. See, as you seek His kingdom, your appetite changes. You begin to desire different things. So Psalm 37:4. Great t-shirt, coffee mug verse. Take delight in the Lord. You know what that means? Seek first His kingdom. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The desires of my heart. What does my heart desire? It's more than money can buy. My heart desires peace and joy and love. That's a good beginning. Give me peace, joy, and love. I'll take that over a boat any day. Late 90s, early 2000s, I was taking college students once a year down to Piedras Negras to a orphanage. It's in just across the border in Mexico. And at this orphanage, we'd play with the kids. And I noticed one day they're out playing soccer. And the kids, the college students I brought and the kids in the orphanage, they were having the best time of their life. And they're playing soccer. And they're playing soccer with a ball that was made of paper and duct tape. That's what they had, paper and duct tape. They're the happiest kids in the world. You see what those kids didn't have? They didn't have much stuff, but they had joy. The next year, we brought them a soccer ball, and they loved it. Not any more than they loved that duct tape, though. They loved it because they had peace and they had joy. They didn't have a lot of stuff, but they had things that were more important, maybe, than stuff. Here's how Paul wrote it to Timothy. Paul wrote these instructions to Timothy. He said this, if we can have food and clothing, birds and flowers, if we can have food and clothing, we will be content with that. That's enough. That's all I need. If I have food and clothing, that's all I need. Seek first His kingdom, and the reward for seeking is peace and joy and love. Seek first His kingdom, and you'll receive what you really want. And as you seek, actually, it's as you seek, it is the process of seeking that your desires are transformed and fulfilled. In the process of seeking, your desires are transformed. Your heart is changed. And your desires are fulfilled. But 2020 brings worry to a new and higher level, doesn't it? I get that. By the way, what day is it today? Yeah. I'm going to close with a couple of readings from John and from 2 Corinthians. This was on the night He was betrayed. The night before He was crucified, Jesus said this for us. He said, I've told you these things, that there's going to be trouble. I've told you these things that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Floundering economy. Coronavirus. But take heart. I've overcome the world. Sometimes we won't have as much money as we'd hoped. Some of us won't have enough money to buy the cool stuff that, you know, our neighbors have or other family members have. Not going to happen. But we can have joy, peace, and love. And isn't that what your heart really desires? For some of us, the issue of finding joy is to remember the great gifts that God's already given us instead of focusing on the things I don't have. Really? We have so much. Find joy in recognizing how great God has been to us. But there are things worse than not having all the money that we want. For instance, sometimes our pain's not about new shoes or golf clubs that we can't afford or a new iPhone. No, sometimes our pain is about someone we love and they died too soon. Yeah, sometimes we grieve. And grieving is good, it's normal. But sometimes grief can lead to despair. Sometimes it can lead to hope. The difference is, do you seek God's kingdom in the grieving? Are you looking for God in the way He's blessing you, even in your darkest moment? God's there. His Son came to die to remind you that He gets it when a loved one dies. You're not the only one. He's right there with you. Sometimes our worry comes because we have chronic pain, pain that won't go away. We have pain all day. We go to sleep at night. We have pain through the night. We wake up. We have pain the whole next day. Sometimes that pain is physical because we've got some different kind of physical problems, and the pain is always there. But sometimes it's emotional or relational. There's brokenness in our past that it causes us pain over and over and over again. And on our very best days, joy seems very temporary. Sometimes our anxiety or our worry is because these days our health or our age has put us at risk. I didn't know I was at risk, but my son told me he saw a little thing in the newspaper about the shelter at home requirements in Abilene, and I found out all of a sudden I'm 67, I'm at risk, I can't go out and do stuff. And honestly, I have to tell you, it's messed with my mind. It has, just being in a category. I still feel good. And whether you're feeling good or not, you could drop over, but just the worry of it, the worry that maybe something's wrong with my health. But what day is it? What day is it? We're going to finish from a word from Paul. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and Paul was in trouble, had been in trouble, and was going to be in trouble. And he was writing to some folks who they needed a word of encouragement from a guy who had already been through the tough times. And here's what he said. We have this treasure in jars of clay so that the awesome power that belongs to God is revealed that it doesn't come from us. We're experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we're not crushed. We're confused, but we're not in despair. We're harassed, but we're not abandoned. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. And we know that God will also raise us with Jesus. God will bring us together, all together, with you, and we will stand before Him. All these things are for you. And so the grace of God that is being given to more and more people will be increasing. Thanks to God for His glory. So we do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker. But the Spirit inside of us is made new every day. We have small troubles, relatively small troubles now. But those troubles even are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than our troubles. So we set our eyes not on what we see, but we set our eyes on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. What day is it? The tomb is empty, and one day soon, all of our troubles will be over. Until then, let's get busy seeking the kingdom. You with me?